More TV superheroes, just what the world needs.
Warning. DC on R&D, the Doom Patrol edition, contains adult language and discussions, as well as the occasional sexually explicit joke, and from time to time, some crude and off-color remarks. If you're easily offended, don't continue to listen. And then go fuck yourself.
All right, hello everyone. Today we're going to be breaking down and discussing DC Universe's second original show, Doom Patrol, specifically the first episode, but we have all watched ahead, so this conversation may veer a bit into episode 2 and 3, but we're going to try to keep it focused on the pilot itself. I, for one, have been pleasantly surprised with the quality of these shows, both in acting and overall production, and to be honest, I didn't really know what to expect from not just Doom Patrol, but the DC Universe streaming service as a whole. But they got their game plan, and it seems to be working just fine for them so far. Now, in the studio today with me to discuss Doom Patrol is Paul and Bob. Hello, guys.
Hey.
Hello, hello.
All right. So I had no expectations when it comes to this series, mostly because I really knew nothing about Doom Patrol. The expectations I did have was based on Titans. I enjoyed the hell out of that show. The acting, production, all of it was good. So leading into this premiere, I was hoping we would get something just as good in terms of quality. And so far, they have indeed delivered. Not only was the opening episode well written, but the production quality was also pretty fucking fantastic. Now, quickly, before we move into the rest of this discussion, I want to get your guys' general consensus of the pilot, and even if you've watched ahead. Don't go into details, that would be spoilerific, but let's start with you, Bob. Brief thoughts on the first episode and the subsequent episodes, and what type of expectations did you have so far?
Now,
or going into it, I should say.
Yeah, well, you know, being that this was a Berlanti thing, mm-hmm. and a lot of the people from the DC on CW, you know, production went into it, I had good expectations just based on the backdoor kind of pilot that they did in Titans. Mm-hmm. That I actually enjoyed. Yeah. That was one of my favorite episodes, is when they went to the mansion to begin with.
Yeah.
So that kind of set my expectations, because legitimately, if it would have come out cold, I probably wouldn't have watched it right away.
Yeah.
I think the setup in Titans is what made me go, okay, it's on. Let me watch this immediately.
Yeah, I agree, because I probably wouldn't have. That's a great point. I don't think I would have had any interest in watching Doom Patrol if I didn't.
Because you think about
see that backdoor pilot.
You're like, oh, it's Timothy Dalton and Brendan Fraser. What is this, 1992? Like, who? Right? You're not dealing with anybody that's going to draw you right in.
No, I mean, yes, there are some big names, and those are some names that are going to draw attention in terms of headline and website click traffic. But yes, it's more or less, interesting. But it doesn't really give you a whole lot to build any form of expectations. Because you really don't know what Timothy Dalton has been up to, other than the fact that he was in Penny Dreadful a few years back, which was a fantastic show, and he was great in that. But again, that's not a mainstream show. That's a show
the
on
last
Showtime.
Thing I know is James Bond.
Yeah, 007.
Yeah.
What about you, Paul?
So I haven't seen any of Titans yet.
Wow.
Well, okay.
It's surprising. So it's more than just fuck Batman.
So basically,
just saying.
You were like, hey, do you want to talk about this show? And I was like, okay, give me the password to this DC app.
Yeah.
And so that happened, and I watched it. I was a little bit hesitant because I knew that Grant Morrison had written, kind of shaped a lot of what these characters were, especially in the more recent stuff. And I thought I hated him, but...
You thought...
But I actually just don't like him doing anything Batman related.
Okay.
Anything else I'm okay with. I really like the series about Santa Claus that he wrote. So I just jumped in and I'll get to Titans, but that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
And I really liked it.
Yeah. Cause you sent me a message the next day. And even though it was a message, I can tell you were enthusiastic about it. Cause you're like, okay, I'm in. I asked you, like, hey, check it out. Let me know if it's something you think you can talk about. And you're like, okay, you didn't really have a whole lot of enthusiasm, I could tell, because of the whole Grant Morrison thing. And then with that one message, you just said, I'm in. I'm like, all right. So I could tell you liked it.
I mean, that, and I think a couple days ago before we rescheduled this again, I asked you, like how does everybody feel? Does everybody genuinely like this, or am I going to be the only one sucking this show's dick?
Right. Well, it's going to probably turn into a blowfest because it was fucking good. I mean, I'll probably round out the discussion with some negative, but it's, well, first off, let's backtrack just a bit. Let's get into the synopsis. After a severe accident, Cliff Steele wakes up a changed man in the house of Dr. Niles Calder and his Doom Patrol. All right. So the pilot episode, simply titled Pilot, was directed by Glenn Winter and written by former Supernatural showrunner Jeremy Carver. Interestingly, Glenn Winter is a former director of photography, which is someone, Bob, you and I have discussed in detail during our DC on CW discussions.
Yes, he's a flash name.
Yeah, he worked on dozens of different television shows, but also DC on CW relevant shows like The Flash, Arrow. But about 4 or 5 years ago, he was working as a director of photography. That was his thing, his entire career. He was a cinematographer. But about 4 or 5 years ago, he made the switch from DOP to an actual director, which, first off, that doesn't happen. That's very, very rare. Very rare. So for him to do that, the guy obviously had a desire to have more control over a set, because as a cinematographer, yeah, you have some control, but you are for the most part, you're at the beck and call of the director of that episode. He's going to be the one that kind of forms the overall feeling of the various scenes of that episode. Yes, the cinematographer sets the tone for the entire season, but it's a completely different job. Completely different job. So this guy's a talented motherfucker, and that immediately made me like him. The fact that he just made that transition, and he did some good work as DOP as well, and he's a competent director. And to be honest, this is why he made a pretty damn good director and a great choice for this specific episode, you know, the pilot episode. When you have that artistic eye for framing and understanding the unsaid portion of a TV show or film, you can imagine what that could translate to when you're also a capable director, in the sense that you can work with actors as well. So I was excited about that. And you could see that eye for the poetic framing and visual motifs because of that background, which this show was filled with just tons of visual subtext that I, you know, we all know that I'm the elitist of this network, and I just
I love
that shit.
I couldn't tell.
Also, executive producer Jeremy Carver was a fantastic showrunner on Supernatural. He also produced and was in charge of the CW show Frequency, which was canceled after one season, despite it being a very well-made show. Needless to say, there are some heavy hitters involved with the making of this show, which we're going to get into a bit later. Besides the behind-the-scenes talent involved with this, we also got a plethora of extraordinary talent as the face of this production, which we talked about that briefly at the top of the show. But let's get into it a little bit more. Timothy Dalton, Brendan Fraser, Matt Bomer, Alan Tudyk, plus new faces, but equally good so far, like April Bowlby and Diane Guerrero. All of which did a great job in the pilot episode, but those three other names, Timothy Dalton. Now, we already know, Bob, that you were like, what is this, the fucking 90s?
What did I tell you about Brendan Fraser after I watched it?
You said this could be his comeback.
Because it was really shocking on what I saw. What I had pictured in my head was George of the Jungle.
Yep.
And Mummy. What I saw was a Ricky Bobby fucking people. Well, he's...
That's amazing. That's going to be the promotional tag we use for this discussion.
There's been a bunch of memes or whatever floating around where he, pretty recently, his alimony payments ended. And he's got...
What,
like,
Brendan Fraser?
Yeah. He's got like a skip in his step now. He's looking good. He's got this like thick, cute, like black girlfriend now.
Damn. Getting after it.
Yeah, he is. His life is on the turnaround. And, you know, I'm not going to say it's because of this, but I think that having this as part of his life.
Yeah.
While in this like stage of his life it's all good for him. And I'm hoping it continues because it's great so far.
Yeah, I was. My interest was piqued when I found out Brendan Fraser got cast. I honestly didn't know what to expect. Same thing you, as you said, Bob, is like the man behind the Mummy franchise and George of the Jungle. And don't get me wrong, the Mummy franchise for its time was great, but he's goofy in those.
They dug up Encino Man for this shit.
Yeah. Let's be honest. He's also very goofy. He doesn't play a lot of serious roles. The first serious role I ever saw him in was the Oscar winning film Crash, okay, where he plays kind of a D-bag. And I remember
but
back.
He's a D-bag amongst 97 other actors in Crash.
Yeah. But I was amazed that he even played a serious role because I've never seen him play that role. And that is the first thing I thought about when he was cast. I'm like, well, it doesn't mean I was hoping we weren't going to get silly, Brendan Fraser, just because I knew Doom Patrol was going to have to be more dark. And yes, you have the absurd, but that doesn't mean the actors themselves are silly. The actors, their portrayals are far from fucking silly. If anything, it's morose and depressing, and you want to slit your wrist at the end of every episode.
I love just everything about him. The way he reacts to stuff. It's just very, not like pessimistic, but just like, nah, I mean, I guess it is pessimistic. It's like, oh, fuck me.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a fair assessment. But yes, Brendan Fraser, I think, is the breakout of this. I did not expect it at all. I am looking forward to seeing what they do with Timothy Dalton. You cannot bring in a big name. Yes, he's a name from the 90s and the 80s, but he's still a fucking big get. And to bring in a big name like that, you can't just squander him. And that's probably my only issue I have so far is, and this is not an issue with writing, it's solely me being a baby. That's it. It has nothing to do.
I want more
Dalton. I want more Mr. Bond, please. That's all I was thinking about. But because he's so good, especially because my love affair with him was rekindled during the run of Penny Dreadful, because I loved that show. It was a travesty that it even got canceled.
I mean, totally off what we're really talking about. But I believe they're doing like a sequel series.
They're bringing it back. Yeah. Yeah, but Timothy Dalton is not going
to
be in it, and I'm a Timothy Dalton baby.
Agnabbit.
Are you not paying attention?
Are they going to bring back?
I didn't know he wasn't going to be in it.
Is Pierce Brosnan going to replace him in the second Penny Dreadful?
That would be terrible. They just bring in Bond characters. and then, of course, Matt Bomer, which he's a good get. I've never been a big fan of his just because I wasn't really into the shows he was in. But he did win me over in the sixth season of American Horror Story, where he was boning Lady Gaga throughout the entire season. And I mean, those two people together, that's just some hotness right there. And I was like, this is fucking great. But then he plays a vampire character. He's killing people. He's a badass. I'm like, this guy is fucking good. This is a far cry from what he did on that. Was it Suits? I think he was in on USA.
Well, you didn't like him in Magic Mike.
Oh, that's right. He was in Magic Mike, right? Yes. I forgot about that. That's right. Now, I wasn't big on him on that either. Obviously, I forgot about him. But I'm all about the portrayals, and I think what he did really...
It's hard to stand out with all that massive amount of meat around you.
Yeah, when you're competing with like 15 other hot dudes, you're not going to really stand out. That's why you'll never see me with other hot dudes. I'm only going to hang out with uglies. Like, if I go out, just a bunch of uglies.
Nice.
Because I need all the attention for me.
Somebody's got to shine.
Wow, look at that perfect man with all those uggos.
Yeah, but then something's wrong with him. Why is he getting all the uglies?
It's a charity thing.
Yeah, he's a good man.
He's a good person. He doesn't
look at him taking all those losers on that Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, so you guys know it. You guys know what I do. April Bowlby. Hopefully I'm saying her name correct. She's great. I don't really know her from anything other than this, but so far she's playing Elastigirl pretty damn good. I really like what they're doing with her. And then Diane Guerrero. Was she even in the pilot? She wasn't, was she?
No, she definitely was.
Okay,
yeah.
I can't remember now. Crazy Jane?
Yeah, I had to look her up. She's 32.
What?
Yeah, which made me feel way better because I love her lips, and she definitely doesn't look 32, so I was worried about
it. Okay, so I'm not the only one that thought she was attractive. I thought she was pretty hot.
I like how when we get down to it, we always make sure we Google age to make sure that it's all right.
Oh, thank God there's nothing wrong with me.
Yeah, she's pretty hot. And the fact that she's playing...
How close to 18?
Eh. The fact that she's playing a crazy, that makes her that much better. So far, the casting has been great. We are going to be seeing Cyborg as well soon. He's not introduced until the second episode. And overall, I think that's a pretty damn good decision just because you're already dealing with a pilot where you have to introduce all these new faces, introduce the world, which this is a very robust, multi-layered world. This isn't some superficial, please forgive me, Arrowverse world. This is a very elaborate
like
world.
I'm the mayor of Arrowverse, and I'm going to come off the mic and choke
you out.
I'm going
to fucking kill you, Mike.
Don't you fucking talk shit about my shows, man.
You know what? And that's my biggest surprise of this entire entire episode so far, or the series, is that it doesn't, it is everything.
It's the Arrowverse people, but it's not the Arrowverse.
Yes, it's everything that's good about the Arrowverse.
Plus minus, fuck and tits.
Yes, so it's minus all the bad shit.
Minus ships.
Yeah, all the great stuff and none of the shitty stuff that makes you roll your eyes. So they're doing some good shit on the CW or the DC
Universe. Even the stuff that you would roll your eyes at, they catch you and they stop you and maybe even make you laugh about it.
Yes.
Because of Alan Tudyk as like the villain and narrator.
Yeah.
Like basically anytime something over the top happens, he just talks shit about it, like breaking the fourth wall. And like instead of like, you laugh about it and you're back into it and you're ready to keep going.
I agree. And that's thank you for bringing up Alan Tudyk. I didn't want to forget him. That's another one that I was really surprised. I mean, Mr. I'm a Leaf on the Wind himself in this show. This guy does not get enough credit. He has played so many different fucking roles throughout the last 20 years. And the guy does not get the credit he deserves because he plays every role so differently. The fact that he is maniacal and sinister as hell in this, and not to mention the cleverness of his entire character and what they do with him. The fact that he's the narrator of the show and the villain, and they mesh the two together to create this element that successfully breaks the fourth wall without taking you out of the show. And it's something that a lot of shows, and this is something you and I talk about a lot, Bob, it's something that a lot of shows want to do. A lot of shows think it's witty and clever to break the fourth wall and talk to the audience. Ever since Zach Morris did it in Saved by the Bell, everybody thinks they can do it.
Fresh Prince.
And this isn't the 80s, and it just doesn't work. It makes a lot of shows feel cheap, and it also, to me, it's a white flag being waved. Hey, we give up. We can't do this seriously, so we're going to make a joke and not take ourselves seriously. Whereas that's not the case with this. It actually adds to the story, especially when you get into the second and third episode. You start realizing that this narration and the fact that it's very meta, that it breaks the fourth wall, it works for the purpose of the show and who this narrator is. So I'm enjoying it.
I have not watched more than the first episode yet, just because I was waiting to do this.
Yeah.
But I looked into Mr. Nobody as a character, mm-hmm. and his powers, from what I read, entailed kind of like projecting his insanity onto other people, kind of making them mm-hmm. see or possibly even do what he wanted. And I read something that, like, you know, kind of seems like he strays from this because he, mini spoiler, kind of breaks reality a little bit.
Right.
And I read just, you know, a little theory that could be him using his power on the audience,
yep.
like breaking the yep. fourth wall and making it was just cool. And I'm very excited to see where the rest of this goes.
And to back that up, I'm fairly certain that's the direction they're going, because it just makes perfect sense. How do you not? If that's such an intrinsic part of that character, then why wouldn't you bring that to the show? Especially if that was part of Grant Morrison's run, which is what this season is loosely based on. It's definitely, without a doubt, inspired by Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol run, which we're going to get into that briefly, but first, or in a moment, but first we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
What are you looking at, nerd? Huh?
I thought I was looking at my mother's old douchebag, but that's in Ohio.
Geek Out Saturdays.
And then, like, ants eat your remains.
Like, those books got real dark.
For kids.
Or like one of them, like you get.
The fact that Marvel's been doing it for 10 years doesn't mean it's easy.
Hold on, though. Take Marvel out of the equation and forget that they don't even exist. Television has been doing this for decades.
And I stumbled upon it while I was hunting alligators. and this guy starts whistling at you. He beckons you. So I thought it was a mission, like a side mission. So I went, and then I realized what it was when it was too late. Yeah. I walked in, that's the guy starts...
And that's how they go out. Like, because the rebirth, when they ditched the new 52, because the new 52, they weren't always on the best of terms. They're back together, or, you know, they end up getting back together because they feel something they don't know. They just feel like the universe is pulling them together.
Catch up on your favorite Rayman digital geek shows every Saturday. DC on CW, Back to Tank, Weird West Radio, The Crossroads, and more. Geek Out Saturday on Rayman Channel 001.
The Rayman Show.
The Rayman Show.
I was surprised that they even existed. I didn't even know. I thought they went belly up years ago. I didn't know, right? Boy Scouts was still a thing.
Well, because how many people know how to do any of that stuff anymore? Tie knots, help old ladies across the street.
Every member of the kink community?
Yeah. Okay. But listen, the kink community were not Boy Scouts. I guarantee it.
Well,
useless skills that you will never use in your life, except those lonely nights when you realize you're 40, you're a Boy Scout, and you're a virgin.
On your 48th camping
trip. Then you're going to be tying those sailor knots on those lonely nights.
On that noose.
For more Rain Man, visit RainManShow.com.
Free stuff is awesome, but free stuff that will spice up your bedroom is even better. Just go to adamandeve.com and select almost any one item for 50% off, and then we'll load on the free stuff. Just enter this very exclusive code, RAINMAN, at checkout, and you'll get 10 tantalizing free gifts, including a sexy item for him, a special toy for her, and a third item you'll both enjoy.
Ooh.
And 6 extra special bonus items that are sure to rev your engine, pique your curiosity, and even blow you away. Plus,
free shipping!
Always sent in discreet packaging. Go to adamandeve.com now. Get 50% off, plus the 10 free gifts when you enter the exclusive offer code RAINMAN. Again, that's RAINMAN, because without it, no free stuff. That's RAINMAN at adamandeve.com.
This is the story of 5 fearless superheroes.
All right, we're back. Okay, so let's start with a little bit of background on Doom Patrol in itself. All right, so the Doom Patrol is a superhero, air quotes here, team appearing in publications from DC Comics. The original Doom Patrol first appeared in My Greatest Adventures number 80 way back in June 1963. And was created by writers Arnold Drake and Bob Haney, and artist Bruno Premaini. I hope I said his name correctly.
Yeah, he's probably dead anyway.
The Doom Patrol has since appeared in multiple incarnations in comics and adapted to other media. Although not one of the most popular superhero teams, they have never been out of print more than a few years since their introduction. I find that very surprising since, honestly, full disclosure here, never heard of Doom Patrol until this. And I'm a DC guy. It obviously never registered to the point where I'm like, I have to go check out an issue. Now, I have heard of these characters, oddly enough, but not the name Doom Patrol as a whole.
They just launched a new Doom Patrol series as part of the Young Animal imprint that DC launched that I believe Gerard Way is like the editor for, mm-hmm. and then he also writes one series, which may actually have been Doom Patrol.
Oh, okay. Well, that would make sense. I mean, I'm a bit ashamed of myself for a lot of reasons. Not only did I not know that one of my favorite showrunners was running this show, Jeremy Carver, but I didn't know of Doom Patrol. And this is right. If anybody that listens to our shows, Bob, knows that this is right up my alley. This is my thing.
Yes.
Like 100% my type of thing.
Well, everything they're doing on this app is your thing.
So like it is
legit,
right?
Not me being a joke. Like it is, you know, dark, grittier stuff. And then we're going to, you know, supernatural type things, the darker characters.
Swamp Thing's coming yeah. soon. Mm-hmm. Dude, we're going to end up changing the name of DC on CW to DC on the DC Universe app pretty soon. I mean, there's just so much content. And now we have the cancellations happening with from the DC on CW yes. front. So
I know I have to rebrand my whole fucking thing.
Yeah. So, all right. So for the next dozen or so years, the series did struggle after the 1968 run when it was canceled. Then it was relaunched in 1987. DC relaunched Doom Patrol at that point. And it wasn't until the 18th issue they kind of rebranded again. It wasn't working out as well as they wanted it to. And they brought on Grant Morrison. He took over and made it into a cult favorite for many diehard fans. A lot of comic book historians and comic book fans will point to Grant Morrison's run of Doom Patrol and say, this is when the comic run got good. This is when it made a name for itself. This is when it was able to cut through the noise of all the other comic books and actually create its own type of branding and define itself, if that makes any sense. And he incorporated bizarre secret societies, elements of surrealism, all types of cool shit that I love. Morrison's villains were extremely unusual and strange, as we can see.
He was the one who made Mr. Nobody, wasn't he?
Yes.
Mr. Nobody was just, he was literally what he says he was in this first episode. He was a nobody, like, sidekick henchman thing in the very first issue of Doom Patrol. And then he disappeared in that issue. And then in like issue 28 of Grant Morrison's run, he comes back as this Mr. Nobody with basically the same origin. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
So Grant Morrison obviously had an affinity for these types of characters and he made them what they are today. There was this whole Penny Dreadful dime novel, noir pulp serial vibe to his run. He loved the bizarre and unusual, and ultimately that's what a lot of his readers loved about it. And I agree. Those are various literary genres that I absolutely adore. And this is the run that showrunner Jeremy Carver chose to fashion the series after, which is a no-brainer. You're not going to fashion it after it. Why would you not fashion it after the most popular run of the series? So any of you guys have read Doom Patrol? I know, Paul, you have not read Doom Patrol because of Grant Morrison. You weren't a fan of his before now. Bob, Doom Patrol, did you ever read anything?
No.
Did you hear about them or
yeah,
were you in the same boat?
I knew
boat?
Who they were, but okay. I just have never read. But you know what? I'm looking it up on the DCU app. And again, for those who don't know, we're not sponsored by DC at all. So I'm not like blowing their product.
We should be, though. Jesus.
But they have... You know, the first six issues of the Gerard Way stuff on there.
Yeah, I see that burrito cover.
Yeah. And, you know, so they do a good, thing about putting the comics out there if you ever want to go back and look.
That's
and
the best part about that app,
dude. I'm looking at it right now. And so it's just like, oh, cool. I can actually go read about these things.
Well, that's why I picked up the Grant Morrison run, because I was watching the DC Daily show they have mm-hmm. on the app, which, by the way, that's such a great show to watch. It's only 30 minutes and it covers all the latest, greatest DC news. It's not as good as our show.
It's daily?
It's daily.
Well, it's because you don't let us do it daily.
Well, no, but like there's enough content to do like time, a daily Bob. Show.
Yeah.
Apparently they do a daily show.
I can tell you tomorrow will be the Arrow getting canceled.
Probably. Yeah. So that's how I heard about Doom Patrol is when they were promoting the run after they did the essentially the backdoor pilot during Titans first season. Mm-hmm. They then talked about the upcoming series of Doom Patrol, and that's when I found out it was going to be a series because I didn't even know. And then they went into a discussion on Grant Morrison's run and how it's being used as, you know, the inspiration for Carver's production of this show. So when they went into that, that's when I decided to start reading the whole Grant Morrison run. And we actually have a show planned on that as well, just that comic book. It's good. Well, I've already read over half of it, and it's pretty damn interesting.
And I can read the other half on the app because those Grant Morrison issues are there now.
Do they have all of them?
I believe
now?
So.
Now? Okay. Because when I looked, they only had, I want to say four, maybe five. They definitely...
Do you know how long his run was?
Not off the top of my head. It was a... I don't. That's we'll talk about that during the comic book discussion.
Right.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about the writing. Now, arguably, the DC cinematic universe has not done great when it comes to ensemble pieces. They are way too eager to introduce heroes and throw all of it right into the story. I should say throw all of us right into the story. And it feels like we're in the mid-progress without any baseline. And they shove character explanations and exposition down our throats in order for us to catch up. Now, I bring this up because I was afraid even though their TV shows have been much better. I was afraid that they were going to end up doing the exact same thing, going to throw us into this chaotic mess of overlapping arcs that confuse, especially because we're dealing with, what, six characters and a villain and a world that's completely new and unique. So going in, I was a bit nervous that we would get like a chopped up version feel like Suicide Squad was, or even bits of Justice League. I like Justice League for the most part, but there was character development issues. There was none for some characters. Whereas with this,
like, spoiler alert, there's more in episode two for Cyborg than there ever was in Justice League, the movie.
Yeah, you and I were joking about that on the phone the other day. I was like, dude, Cyborg was introduced and we know more about this Cyborg in 20 minutes than we did in the entire Justice League movie.
This did a lot for me. So there's. Okay, so Justice League, for example, I am at least very much aware of many of the characters in all of the characters in that movie.
Yeah.
And some of them I have a great affinity for.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take this where it's going to be however many episodes, 10 or 13 or what?
I think it's 10.
Yeah.
At like an hour each. So we're going to end up being like a 10-hour movie. But so far, one episode, 1 hour, I feel like going into this, knowing nothing about any of these characters, I feel better about the explanation, the background that they gave me on these characters than I did about the background they refreshed me with, because I already knew in the fucking movies.
Isn't that sad? Like, it makes you scratch your head and wonder, what the fuck are they doing from the cinematic, you know, universe side? How can you take a TV show in 58 minutes and completely immerse the audience in this world?
They spent half the first episode just exclusively on Brendan Fraser's character's backstory.
Yep.
And like, I pretty much loved all of it. It was great. Yeah.
And that was the strength. That was the strength of the episode, because, you know, Jeremy Carver, this is what he does best. I know you guys don't know his career as well as I do, but he does this type of writing better than most showrunners can. Most television writers, taking those parallel narratives while using a singular character arc as a bit of an anchor, something that keeps the episode's narrative consistent and not jarring. And Carver did this by using Robot Man, Brendan Fraser's character, as that anchor or foundation. And then everything else was built on top of that. But they used his story as the anchor of the show. And that's what made everything else feel good. It didn't, even though we went to someone else's story, the theme and everything that was happening with everyone else's story fit his theme. It wasn't jarring. They weren't switching storytelling styles and techniques halfway through to accommodate somebody else's character. Whereas, again, looking at movies like Suicide Squad, every character had a completely different vibe that it felt like short films. It didn't feel like one piece, especially with the opening 20 minutes when they're introducing everybody. Every introduction felt like the beginning of a new movie. And that was my biggest problem. And of course, because of the association of it being DC, I was nervous, but pleasantly surprised yet again that they managed to balance. Talk about a balancing act, taking six characters and not neglecting any of them. Yes, Brendan Fraser was the focus, and I think rightfully so. He's the one they used to kind of kick off the introduction to everybody.
But like, now I know his character best. I am committed to his character. Yep. I'm going to keep watching, and I'm sure that we'll get, you know, sprinkles or, you know, much more featured stories from each of the other characters as we move forward.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, building off of what they've already established.
It's a clever way to write a script. I just don't know. I don't understand why more people don't follow that template. Use one character as your foundation. And that's what they could have done. I know we're not a Suicide Squad show here, but that's what they could have done with Suicide Squad. You know, they tried to do that kind of with Deadshot and Harley Quinn as the two leads, but they also tried to go over here and over there and over there. They should have just focused on one person and had everyone else be what they should have been and were, essentially, as solely supporting.
Yes, exactly. What do we joke about on Arrow? It's an Arrow show.
Yes.
Focus on him.
Yeah. So it was a good job. I have no complaints with the writing. In fact, from the writing standpoint, I feel like this is probably one of the better pilots I've actually watched, because we all know that most pilots are not that great. They're usually there's a general rule I give all TV shows, no matter what, even if I hated the pilot.
Five episodes,
because I want to be fair, because sometimes it takes a while for a show to really get interesting. But not with this show, man. 10 minutes in, Brendan Fraser fucking a chick. I'm like, holy fuck. This is cool.
He's going to get caught. He's going to get caught.
Going to get caught. Oh, he has some balls, though, man. He was plowing that with the babysitter with his wife next door.
Yeah. Get in when you can, right?
Yeah. Why not? All right. So, but besides the actual craft of writing a script, let's get back on track here. Besides the actual craft of writing a script, there is a lot of relevance also within the pilot as well, because for the most part, the characters, even though this is a larger than life story, the characters are very real people with real problems. They're grounded, which again, very hard feat when you're dealing with a world that is dipped in the surreal. They delve into issues of depression, humility, sacrifice, mental disorders, loss. I mean, trapped in the closet, you know, homophobia. It's all of it. And you would think if I was an executive and someone handed this to me in a treatment and said, hey, this is the next show we're going to produce. I'm like, what the fuck? This is the whole season? No, just the pilot. I'm like, you guys are fucking crazy. Get out of here. But they made it work. That's why this pilot felt so good. And they took all of that, mixed it up, and they gave us some zany, eclectic piece of brilliance that I really enjoyed. Did you guys have any issues at all, even nitpicky, with how the story was told in the pilot? Anything?
Without sitting and just thinking on something that I hated, the only thing that I outright didn't like was Brendan Fraser's haircut. And it was accurate for the character. Fucking NASCAR driver having a weird ass 80s mullet.
Yeah.
But I did not like it in the least.
What about you, Bob? Anything?
I'm going to also go with his haircut now that he pointed it out. No, there was nothing actually that stood out that was. Yeah. And I'm probably the most critical host on DC on CW when it comes to like the looking at certain things and going, that's fucking stupid. It was one of those ones I was like, I really wish the DC app fucking let me binge watch because I want to watch the next one. And to the point where I asked you, I'm like, hey, can I watch the next one? Because I don't want to fuck up the review of the first one because I really want to go forward.
Yeah.
And that's how good it was for me.
I mean, the physical, like the costumes, the physical like appearance of a lot of the characters, like Robot Man looks goofy as hell. But I also feel like, I don't know. It's something about it I just totally willingly accept.
Well,
it's the point, right?
Robot that was built in 88, or a cyborg rather, is gonna potentially look like with his little LED eyes and
a little bit of a rustic look to it.
The thing you want it looking like it's a homemade Frankenstein looking character,
and I think not like
Adam from Legends, where you know you see everything spinning around, it looks all high tech.
And a lot of these characters are fashioned after Universal's monsters, which is hokey as fuck.
Mm-hmm.
So it fits into the whole genre that they're going for.
Well, just and speaking of like how they're fashioned, I think they wanted to stay pretty true to their comic visions. So
yeah, because we all know that DC. Yeah, DC fans complain a lot about that.
I mean, especially a niche team like this that, I mean, maybe isn't going to be, it's not Superman, it's not Batman, it's not Wonder Woman. You throw a cyborg in there, but who cares?
Right.
Hashtag cyborg sucks.
Not a cyborg fan.
Booyah?
No. Shh.
Oh.
Oh. Actually, that's like the only, it doesn't matter. So
that's the only version you like?
It's the only version that isn't terrible.
He didn't say he liked it. He says it's the only version that's not terrible.
Well, wait till you meet the new one. I mean, let's talk about it for a second. Now, Cyborg will be a permanent face in season one, but he was not in the pilot, which I'm fine with. It was already a lot going on, and he kind of gets his due in the second episode. It's more about him, and they kind of do the same thing they did with Brendan Fraser, but with Cyborg.
Mm-hmm. And he's a more established, at least in my opinion, a more established character. He was in Justice League. He's been in a dozen cartoons, animated series.
That's probably why they brought him in.
Yeah, and why they didn't need to bring him in right away, because you don't need to pollute introducing all of these other characters with this guy that most people are probably already aware of.
Yeah. I don't know. I have a feeling he won't stay around for more than one season just because Cyborg was, as far as I know, and David Sabal, who was supposed to be in the show today, but he had to cancel. He is the Doom Patrol fanatic. He's read every single comic book. And he has said Cyborg has never, ever been a part of Doom Patrol. So I have to think that they're only doing that for the purpose of helping draw in an audience, you know, giving that one known, well-known name, Cyborg. Again, not well-known to me. I knew who he was, but never, ever read anything with him in it.
That guy who is supposed to get a solo movie after Justice League and probably never will.
Well, and he doesn't deserve one. There's plenty of other characters that deserve solo films.
The only character from Justice League that didn't get a hot toy made after him.
Oh,
what a loser.
You think it's because he was black? Do you think that's what people say?
No, it's because he sucks as a character.
All right. So, Jesus, things got really fucking sad right now. But he's probably going to end up going to Titans.
Can we do DC on CW Presents Cyborg Sucks?
Yes, please. That would be awesome. Hosted by Paul, and Paul could just talk shit under his breath the whole time. That'll be the entire show. Just say,
under my breath the whole time. Yeah. Somebody, we'll get you to talk, and I'll just, he's fucking a piece of shit.
Yeah, that was stupid too.
That's a great bit. I actually like that show. He can do commentary of our discussion at Cyborg. He's all these guys are stupid. Cyborg's stupid. I don't know why they're even doing a show about it.
I only have one eye.
Oh, Jesus. All right. So the reason why they brought Cyborg in has probably a lot more to do, as I was saying, with just the whole marketing side of things, putting that one known hero with this group.
For sure,
and
yeah.
After that, he's probably going to end up in Titans. Wouldn't that make more sense?
Yeah. Well, I want to see him in Beast Boy just based on Teen Titans Go. But
yeah. I mean,
even the Teen Titans series before that, they're always super best pals.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that would make sense. Chances are that is what they will do.
Because honestly, I was upset that it doesn't look like Beast Boy is going to be around for this.
Yeah, that's surprising, right? Because he was a big part of Doom Patrol. That's even what David said. David said that was his only kind of groan when he watched this, was that there was no Beast Boy in it. So I have a feeling they'll probably end up swapping, which, again, would make more sense. Because how long can you have a love story, no spoilers here, between him and that one girl in Titans?
Like 7 seasons.
Yeah, if we're talking about Raven, because I haven't seen any of Titans, then forever, because he's pretty friend zoned hard.
I don't want that. I don't want that. I don't want this to be melodrama DC on CW shit. You know,
but I don't think it's ever been like that.
Good.
So you should be okay.
Speaking of CW, now in my opinion, this show could never work on regular television. And I'm not talking about the mature themes and sexual situations. It's too absurd that I don't feel like a stuffy old television exec would be able to comprehend the weird and bizarre. But not only that, this type of show would struggle, in my opinion, to even be understood by the mainstream. Is that a fair assessment? If you guys disagree, then please. I mean, do you see them being able to do everything they want to do with this show, and audience say,
Well, I think that's why this show works for me, because they're like, hey, you know, let's not make Justice League. Let's not try to just pander to, you know, the fans. Let's not throw everyone they know right into their face. Let's do a story with characters. Let's do it.
Yeah, because that's essentially what this is. This is a show solely about people.
Well, because you said it perfect. The pilot would have been something completely different. It would have been 17 different cutscenes between the 6 characters getting introductions, because we all have to get them on screen right away.
Yeah. Yeah, and I don't see this show struggling to find an audience where it's at. I feel like the show would have struggled to find an audience if it was released on the go-to, the CW, or maybe even some other, you know, mainstream network television channel.
Well, I don't think it would have worked on anything other than the app. And now, again, you said, like, not even based on the themes or anything, but like if they would have thrown it on Sci-Fi where Krypton is, it probably wouldn't have worked, because I've never seen Krypton.
Yeah. No, but you're
you know
right.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And this is supposed to be my thing.
But going with, I mean, just the opposite of that, going with what it is, going with the tones, going with like the language, I'm immature or whatever. Like I love in my opinion, the realistic speech that Robot Man has.
Yeah.
Just like every other line is like, oh, fuck me. Or
yeah.
God damn it. Like I appreciate it.
Yeah.
It is real as far as I'm concerned, because that's the same shit that I mutter whenever I see a portal open in the street.
Yeah. We just heard it about
you were
Cyborg.
Doing.
Yeah.
God. Yeah, you're right. This is where it needs to be. This is a perfect show that works for the DC Universe app because it doesn't need to be accepted by the mainstream. The weird is a bit more normal to comic book readers anyway, who, let's be honest, are the ones subscribing to DC Universe. Whereas when you're making a show for the CW or CBS, you have to take in the mainstream audience and the audience of that channel. It's like people watching Supergirl when it first premiered on CBS, the 13 million that watched it, probably 8 million of those were regular casual TV viewers.
They were waiting on Big Bang to come on after it.
Yeah, or it's somebody who just finished watching Vampire Diaries and, you know, you gotta hope they're going to stick around for Arrow or what. Yeah, I don't know the schedule, but, you know.
So you have to kind of mold shows to fit the target demo of that network. Whereas with this being on the app, you don't have to mold your story to fit any target demo, but the demo it was originally made for.
Well, that and for this, a lot of times I think movies and television start molding their shows for the target toy aisle.
Yep.
That we want to make sure, okay, their parents are watching it. Let's make sure we can get them into Target to go buy new Justice League figures. You're not going to see Doom Patrol figures out there.
I mean,
McFarlane, maybe.
You probably will, but.
But you know what I mean? But your 7-year-old's going to be.
You're absolutely right, yeah.
I'm calling it right now. Bobby's wrong. There will be figures.
There were at New York Toys.
There's going to be a Target exclusive right next to the Barbie aisle. Elastigirl. And all her blobby glory.
It's just like a saggy face.
Saggy tits. It'll be like a nude version as well. You think we're going to see that? Like her boobs droop as well? I mean, this show has showed some pretty disturbing shit already.
Just like a nipple fall out of the bottom of a dress.
You have this. Oh, God. I mean, you have this hot chick. I don't want to ruin the second episode yet, but you have this hot chick essentially thrown into a bag, a trash bag. And I'm not going to say anymore until maybe we do a second discussion on episode 2. But there is just some weird shit that is hard to swallow, except if you're a donkey. You'll get that later on. And like I said, I have watched ahead and each episode is equally good so far. I find it a bit annoying reading some reviews online where they were bashing the story and it just makes me sigh because it's like, you're missing it all. Like, are they watching an entirely different show? But these are also the same blogs that blow literally everything Marvel and claim that every new Marvel installment is like a blowjob from the goddess Shiva. There is no balance in their reviews. So what? I'm hoping I'm pleading
doesn't
to our
listeners. Does she have like several arms? Why would a blowjob be the best thing from her?
Oh, Shiva? Oh, yeah. She can
like an almighty hand job would probably be the best.
Well, hand job, cupping the balls, maybe grabbing the ass a little bit.
She can do all of it.
Yeah, she can do. Yeah, leave no hand unused. I like my chest touched a little bit.
So, she got you.
Yeah. I like how he's stuck on the Shiva part. the reason why I even bring that up is because I don't want our listeners, usually our listeners, Bob, they take what we say seriously over any other blogs, but because we're late to the game, you know, the blogs have already been out there, mm-hmm. The 3 episodes in, I don't want people shrugging this show off thinking, it's not good because, I read a headline that says it's weird and stupid.
Okay, so this is kind of relevant right now because mm-hmm. I just did the Captain Marvel screening and I read all these like it's the movie for females. It's a feminist movie and I did not see it that way. So people are always going to read into whatever they watch the way they want to watch it so they can write their reviews. And we don't play like that here.
Yeah.
We watch a show for what it is and we'll tell you what it is. And this is a damn good show. It's entertaining. It's a quick, fast paced, you know, whatever 54 minutes or whatever the initial thing was where I wasn't looking at my phone. I wasn't trying to like hit the pause button to figure out where it is on the screen because I do that sometimes. Or I'm like,
yeah, just a pulse check.
Yeah.
How much longer?
How much longer? I really want to go get some popcorn or just go eat or do something else.
Jerk it.
Yeah. I'm going to go beat off this lady's elastic.
I really like that plastic bag scene. Yeah. Really hot.
The part where she's just mobbing through the street like just a spilled bucket of lard.
I mean, I'm really into silly putty.
Roll over me, bitch, please. Smother me.
I can't breathe.
But so we don't look at TV shows like that to where we have an agenda coming in.
No.
And
we base it solely on academic merits. We very rarely base our reviews on things we want as fans. We base it our discussions based on what they gave us and whether it was good or not. I've reviewed things that I didn't even care for. But I'm like, hey, you know what? It was good. Yeah. It's not my cup of tea, but it was good.
Yeah.
This, though, is my cup of tea, 100%.
And it's good.
And it's good. So since you kind of started us off there, Bob, let's just jump into final thoughts. Do you have anything additional you want to add to close out today's discussion?
No.
Okay. Paul, any final thoughts?
Fuck.
I just talked for like 6 minutes. So I'm fine.
I came into this not knowing anything about the characters. No, I came into this knowing enough about the premise mm-hmm. to assume I wasn't going to like it. And I really enjoyed it. I'm stoked to watch more. The only reason I haven't is because I didn't want to mess up doing this.
Nobody ever does that when they watch ahead.
I just wanted to remember what I was talking about.
No, trust me, it's a joke because I talked about Black Lightning like 3 episodes ahead once.
Yeah, we were supposed to do an entire discussion on the first season and we fell behind and we never watched the show because we didn't want to watch ahead. And then a year and a half later, we still haven't watched ahead because we are still mulling over whether or not we're going to cover it.
Perfect.
So, yeah,
we wanted to make sure that didn't happen with this show. So I told Bob, you know what? We've already canceled twice when we were supposed to record this discussion. So just watch ahead. Otherwise, we're going to end up skipping an entirely fantastic show.
We're going to Black Lightning this.
Yeah.
I expected not to like it. I very much like it so far. So see where it takes us.
All right. Yes, great show. It's something I did not expect, something I didn't know that I wanted. And now not only do I want it, I need it. I absolutely love what the DC Universe app is doing. It's fantastic. It is the dream come true for DC fans. Comic books, original programming. This era we live in today is just fantastic when it comes to entertainment. 20 years ago, if someone were to tell you, hey, all your favorite fandoms are going to have their own streaming service. Yes, we make jokes about how many more are they going to make. But hey, if you keep making streaming service for fandoms and genres that I love, how can I truly complain about that?
And I always look at it as like, okay, whatever, the $7.99 a month.
It's well worth it.
You know what? For Supergirl, they introduced the Elite. I never knew what the Elite was. I watched Superman versus the Elite on the app. You know, I didn't have to buy the movie.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I'm getting. Would I pay $7.99 for this show alone? Yeah, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
As long as the content that they present, that they crank out, like is good like this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, whatever. I'll pay. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's how I feel about it. And especially because they're doing things. And this is something I say in a lot of my shows. This new era we are in when it comes to television, there's so many different platforms now to use. Why do the same? Why keep regurgitating things we've seen on network television? If you're going to do that, then just put your show on network television. And this show is a perfect example of taking your app, your service, understanding who is subscribing and delivering the content that's appropriate for this app. And it's a show that probably wouldn't work anywhere else. And that's what you do with these types of services. This is how people like us get our money's worth, knowing that this show and how great it is could never be made anywhere else.
Well, and for me, it's like Titan started again. The fuck Batman trailer was just such a weird fucking thing for them to do.
Put a bad taste in my mouth.
And it turned into something else,
yeah.
Which led me to have confidence in Doom Patrol, mm-hmm. which is totally getting me hyped for Swamp Thing.
Yeah, dude, I'm scared now.
It's building blocks, right? Like, and you're like, all right, if they keep building off of this, it's going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah.
At this point in my life, I know what I like. I know what I want to spend money on. I know what I'm willing to spend money on. And they're throwing things at me that I didn't know I wanted.
Yeah.
And like I do now. I want those. So cool. Keep doing that.
Yeah. It's awesome. I love it. I cannot wait to Swamp Thing. And even was it Stargirl?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know nothing about Stargirl, but I'm going to watch it. If they keep churning out this type of content, dude, they're going
to at least give it a turn.
Yeah, for sure. And also, they're going to be a force to reckon with. It's only a matter of time before one of these shows gets nominated for an Emmy. In fact, I would be surprised if Doom Patrol, if they continue down the route they're going, because it's so relevant. It's real people, and that's what wins awards.
Would it fall into that American Horror Story miniseries or an actual series category?
Is this an ongoing series? It's ongoing, right?
Well, I just never know how they actually do that, because American Horror Story is always,
always considered a miniseries.
Yeah.
Or during the Emmy noms?
Uh-huh.
I didn't know that.
Because each season is like an anthology?
That's why. Is that why? Yep, that's why.
Okay.
Yep, that's why. Yeah, so I would not be surprised. Maybe not the first season, because it's not on everyone's radar, and maybe Jeremy Carver and DC won't champion it, because you have to...
For consideration.
You have to campaign your show. It doesn't just automatically happen. Oh, we like that show, so let's nominate it. It doesn't work that way. The production company has to campaign to be nominated. It has to be put into trades. It has to be pimped out to all the members of the Emmy organization. If they decide to do that, then I find it hard to believe that this show couldn't get at least considered.
This is you saying this with, I don't know if you've watched ahead or not, but regardless,
three episodes.
Yeah, there's only three episodes out so far. Yeah. And like you're that committed, that passionate about this.
It's fucking good. It's good. I watch so much television that when something that resonates and it's actually quality and it works for me, that I jump on it, because we're in the golden age of television. Yes, a lot of people say that.
But television's better than movies.
It is. But just because we're in the golden age, and yes, TVs are far better than movies right now, it doesn't mean every TV show that comes out that everyone blows and says is great is good. Just because you have high production value and some good actors doesn't mean you know how to write an episode of television. This is all of that, plus it's well written. So I am excited. I have a cotton mouth right now from blowing the show too much. Paul, you called it before the show even started that we're probably going to blow this. And we did.
We blew it.
Yeah. Blew. Good thing we took some gag reflex gel.
What a mess.
Yeah. That's not a thing. Blowjobs hurt my neck.
Let's do a different show, Bob.
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
All right. I want to thank everybody for listening. And please, if you enjoyed this discussion, please tweet us. Let us know. And possibly we will continue our discussions. But we have to hear from you. Thank you, Bob.
Bye.
Thank you, Paul.
Bye-bye.
And good night.